Please stand in body or in spirit. Is Jesus truly concerned with Martha's acts of hospitality?
Or is he calling out a distracted heart and mind?
Oops, sorry. We're going to start over and we're going to pretend that that part was in yellow. I messed that up when I sent it to Teresa. We're all going to say the A part. You nailed it though, Mike. He showed us how to do it. Is Jesus truly concerned with Martha's acts of hospitality?
Or is he calling out a distracted heart and mind?
Come, let us center our hearts and minds on God.
And receive Jesus Christ.
We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another, keeping silence for reflection and self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. The mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ, was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Eternal God, you draw near to us in Christ, and you make yourself our guest. Amid the cares of our lives, make us attentive to your presence, that we may treasure your word above all else, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated for the reading.
Good morning. The first reading is from Genesis, the 18th chapter. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. The word of the Lord. Please read Psalm 15 responsively with me. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill?
Those who walk by faith and do what is right, and seek the truth from their heart.
Who do not slander with their tongue and do no evil to their friends, nor heap shame upon their neighbors. Who do not lend money at interest and do not take a bribe against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be moved. The second reading is from Galatians, the first chapter. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshy body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard. Which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a minister of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Some people who aren't going to like what Jesus has to say today. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
Now as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, Jesus and his disciples entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed Jesus into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work? Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise
be to Christ. You may be seated as we contemplate our lazy siblings. I mean, probably, but, you know. Probably also not wrong. The problem today that we come across is not one of hospitality. The problem that we come across is, you know, oh, sorry, I gotta take this text. Very important. Got it. Sorry, I'll start over. The problem, you see, is not with hospitality. The problem, you see, is with, okay, that's really embarrassing that I would get a phone. Who's calling? Yeah, I know. Yes, I know they all say to you that I'm always on vacation, but I am working today, and I am giving a sermon right now, so if you could, all right, yeah, I'll call you after church. Thanks, bye. The problem, you see, is not with hospitality. The problem is with distraction. Get it? I was faking the text in the phone. It wasn't real. Anyway, I know. Do you want me to do it again, more convincingly this time? The problem is with distraction. Martha was distracted by her many tasks. And all of the, we'll call them older people here, want to look at all of you younger people who are addicted to your devices like phones and other such things and say, you are distracted by these devices and you can't focus on anything. Well, they themselves are always distracted by these devices too. We can blame the phones all we want, but all too often we Christians are, leave it there, are distracted from Jesus by something else. We are distracted from Jesus by ourselves. We distract ourselves from Jesus. And by that I mean we believe that we and what we do are more important than Jesus. Who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, and what Jesus continues to do. You see, Martha, there's nothing wrong in what she's doing. She is doing the hospitable thing. There's nothing wrong with hospitality. She has this hospitality thing down pat, as many of us Christians do. We know what it is to be hospitable Christians, don't we? Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. But there's a problem, isn't there? There is this lazy, no good fellow fellow sister in Christ. And she is there doing nothing. She's doing nothing but what? Listening to Jesus. How dare she listen to Jesus? But Lord, do you not care that my lazy, good-for-nothing fellow parishioner, sister, has left me to do all of this work by myself? Tell her to get her lazy you-know-what off the floor and help me do all the things that make this church, this home, a nice place to come to. And how it must have stung Martha when Jesus corrected her. Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things, and your lazy, good-for-nothing sister, well, she's actually chosen the better part, and I will not take it away from her. And that's it. That is where the story ends. That's where this narrative ends. And I like to imagine Martha's response being something like, her? Mary? Really? She's just been sitting there this whole time while I've been doing everything, all the work, and you take her side, Jesus. What is wrong with you? I'm the glue that keeps this whole thing together. Without me, this whole place right here would be nothing. I think we obviously see the problem. The caution for us doer Christians is that we can become so singularly focused on what we are doing that we believe that whatever it is that we've come to conceive of as church would no longer exist without us. And in a way, I think that's right. Without us, there is really no church. But also without Jesus, there's no church. We become so distracted with worry of secondary things that we forget Jesus sometimes is even here. And we forget that without Jesus, this place would be nothing. Guilty. But can you really blame us? I mean, seriously, we all know this sibling, right? You probably, which one of it is you? Which one of you is the sibling? Which one, Lydia will tell me which one of the siblings it is. It's probably Ben. the incident here, if you will, happens shortly after Jesus gives his Good Samaritan parable, which I'm going to test you on how well you were listening last week. How does the Good Samaritan parable end? What does Jesus command at the end of the Good Samaritan parable? He says, go and do likewise. Jesus commands, go and do, and now he's saying, sit and listen. What? I know, we're Lutherans. By grace, we are saved through faith and all that other theological mumbo-jumbo. But I mean, shouldn't we do just in case it's required? I mean, it's kind of like a life-after-death insurance policy. So, see, right? Thank you. Thank you. You got it. Those of us who do, like Martha, and there are a lot of them in this room, of course we get frustrated with that good-for-nothing Mary who has once again left us with all the work. I don't think it's by accident that this sit and be with Jesus story of Mary and Martha comes immediately after the go and do Good Samaritan parable. We are an either-or society. We like to work in shades of black or white. There is no gray with us. But with Jesus, it's never quite that simple, is it? The call for us Christians is to be a both-and kind of people, which means we sit and listen on this side, and we go and do on this side. And we must be both. If we never sit and be with Christ, if we only invite Christ in, as Martha to her credit did do, but never really sit with him, never wonder what it's like to know him, as Martha kind of, at least in this story, didn't do. If Jesus is just kind of there in the background, as part of what we do and what's going on, then our going and doing will never truly be rooted in Jesus Christ. It will never flow from an authentic relationship with Christ. And that means that the people that we encounter, the people that we are called to serve in the name of Christ, will never really come to know and experience Christ in and through us in the first place. And Christ is the one who's supposed to be the center of it, not us. Because we ourselves have been so distracted and worried about other things that we have never really come to know and experience Christ ourselves. We have never come to know what Mary herself knew on that day in the house. And that's a shame. Jesus doesn't tell Mary that her hospitality, sorry, let me say that again. Why did they have to have M names? Jesus doesn't tell Martha that her hospitality isn't important. He isn't saying Mary is better than her. He isn't telling Martha not to ever be a goer and a doer. He is, however, saying that I am here right now, and in this moment, I need you to set your distractions aside and your worries aside. I'm inviting you to come to me, and you will understand in that moment that I am the only thing you ever need. It's hard for us to imagine that. I think our American mentality as well plays into it, to imagine that Jesus is the only thing we ever need. Jesus, you see, he is the beginning and he is our ending. I think that's what he's saying here. I think somewhere in Revelation, out there yonder, it says Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. When we center ourselves in this place, when we are centered in Jesus Christ, when we remove our distractions, including worries about those good-for-nothing siblings that keep us from seeing and experiencing Jesus. See, that's the problem with Martha and Mary that day. Martha's concerns with Mary were keeping Martha from experiencing Jesus. Only when we remove these distractions are we able to move from a place of sitting and being to a place of going and doing. It is a going and doing then that is centered in Christ. It is a going and doing that allows those we serve to sit at the feet of Jesus. To know and experience that one Jesus Christ without distractions themselves in and through us in how we serve. I have to say something that I'm pretty sure most of you all are going to agree with. I hate death. I abhor death. And I do love me a funeral dinner. Right? Yeah? Come on. Come on. Not just because of the cheesy potatoes or the abundance of other delicious food that's there. It's a bonus, right? Death, for as much as I hate it, it seems to me that in Christian community, death never fails to center us on Jesus Christ. And it plays out at the funeral dinner. You see it there. For me to continue this sermon, I'm going to have to ask you to not think of Mary and Martha as actual sinners. Or sinners. Well, they're probably sinners too. Actual siblings, actual sisters, but they are siblings in Christ, okay? Mary and Martha, they are both there at that funeral dinner, aren't they? But this time, Martha, she's not worried about Mary and what she isn't doing. Because right now, Mary has spent the past several days just barely coming to grips with the loss of her loved one. Add that to the whirlwind task of making funeral arrangements, right? How many calling hours? Are we going to do that at the church? Are we going to do that at the funeral home? Is the pastor available? Cousin Steve, he's out in Oklahoma and he's going to fly in, but he can't get a flight until Thursday. Can we make that work with everyone else's schedule? Martha, she knows this. Martha knows this. She's been through it herself too many times to count. And she knows that Mary, that she hasn't had a chance to sit at the feet of Jesus since the death of her loved one. And Martha will go and do everything she can do to make sure that just for a little bit, even if it's only for the length of a funeral dinner, Mary can finally, since the death of her loved one, be able to sit at the feet of Jesus. Mary can finally sit at the feet of Jesus, experience the love and the comfort of Jesus through the shared laughter and tears with her loved ones and her friends, through the cheesy potatoes made by Martha's loving hands, the cheesy potatoes that Martha didn't make so that she herself might be glorified, no, so that Mary might begin to remember the love of Jesus Christ and to recognize again the presence of Jesus Christ in her life, made known through everything going on at that funeral dinner. That she may know through Martha, through anyone who's ever thrown a funeral dinner, through anyone who has ever comforted someone in their grief, that's probably all of us here. Through those gathered at the meal, through the cheesy potatoes, yes, Jesus Christ can be made known through cheesy potatoes, people. That Jesus Christ is the only one thing at the end of this day, at the end of this earthly life, that really and truly matters. That is what Jesus is telling us today. That is what he is reminding Martha. And this, my dear siblings in Christ, to all my Marys and Marthas out here, will not, it cannot be taken away from us. Jesus cannot be taken away from us. Amen.
I ask you all to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
As we prepare to pray our prayers of intercession, I ask if there are any additional prayers to raise today. I did get a phone call last night from Laurel Haas, who is here with us today. His mother, Millie, Mildred Haas, has been at Magnolia Terrace for a while. She's had a few falls recently and is going into hospice care soon. So let's please keep Millie Haas in our prayers and her family. What other prayers are there today?
Friends and family of Diane.
Friends and family of Diane.
Jackie Hunter and Carolee.
Jackie Hunter and?
Carolee.
In solidarity with all creation, we join our voices to the voice of the whole church and pray for the needs of the world.
Peel away the distractions, worries, and fears of all who govern the nations of the world. May your word of love and life dispel voices of hate and injustice. Provide gracious hospitality in places where hostile forces hold sway. Compel leaders to provide a way for food to flow to those who hunger, especially in El Salvador, Haiti, South Sudan, and Gaza. God of grace.
Hear our prayer. Speak your word of comfort to any who suffer pain, illness, grief, depression, or despair. Especially this day we lift to you Teresa, Joyce, Judy, Jean, Krista, Dave, AJ, Caden and his family, Haley, Sandy, Scott, Ed. We lift Joyce, Millie, Jackie, Carolee, and the family and friends of Diane. And those that we lift either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. God of grace.
Enliven and uphold all siblings in Christ, including this faith community, who strive to provide spaces of welcome and hospitality where everyone, without exception, can receive and be transformed by your word of life. God of grace.
Hear our prayer. Trusting in your loving kindness, we place our prayers and our hope in you. In the name of Jesus Christ, who is and remains our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen. Peace of Christ be with you always.
Also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another.
That's it.
continue us. We continue worship now with our gifts and our offerings.
God, in your wisdom you bring forth all that is good, and the harvest is plentiful. Strengthen us at your table with these gifts of the earth and our labor, that we may work for the good of all through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The kingdom of God is here and set before us. Come, eat, drink, and rejoice. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is Christ, broken for you. This is the body of Christ, broken for you. This is the body of Christ, broken for you. This is the body of Christ, broken for you. This is the body of Christ, broken for you. This is the body of Christ, broken for you. This is the body of Christ, broken for you. Sorry, dude. You are a beloved child. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. Thank you. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Sustaining God, you gathered us to your table, and we drank deeply of your grace. Send us out by your Spirit to love our neighbors as ourselves and proclaim your love in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Few announcements this morning, I think, maybe. Actually, I'm not sure if there are any announcements, other than as a reminder, our noisy offering. So we will pass, if you've not been here before, we will pass a few things that make loud sounds when you put change in them. Cans, whatever. Bowls, that's what they are. They're called bowls. Bowls. So we'll pass that around. Anything you offer will go to Lutheran Disaster Relief, specifically for flooding, and it seems like they're ready to go. So in addition, if you would like to make a donation to Lutheran Disaster Response Flooding Relief, you can also do that through your you know how to do it. Put it in the offering plate and mark it as such. Any other announcements? It seems like they're done. Then let us continue with this, and then you'll get a blessing afterwards. Go ahead, Adam. Now may the good Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen. We have received the hospitality of Christ in word and meal.
Let us now go forth in peace, without distraction, and centered in Christ.
Making Christ known through our welcome.
We will. Thanks.